Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Feeling good, doing well.
Feeling good, doing well. Well, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. We appreciate you dropping on by, everybody. Coming up, we've got a three-time USA CrossFit champion, Carrie Pierce, known for her piercing abs, is going to join us coming up here on the show in 20 minutes from now. Yes, indeed, Carrie's abs have become viral sensations. She's in amazing health and amazingly fit, and she's going to join us. She is a champion. She's going to drop on by the show in about 20 minutes from now. And in 40 minutes, we'll do advanced analytics. This weekend, yesterday, Philadelphia Phillies fans booed their team, their pitching staff, in spring training. It was still February. Ain't nothing like Philly fans on February 28th booing their baseball team. But fans back in the building, at least some, limited capacity in spring training. They went through six pitchers and six runs, I don't know about six pitchers, but six runs and 50 total pitches in the first inning, and Phillies fans were unhappy. And we're asking you, is that awesome or disturbing? That's the poll question today. Go to at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter to cast your vote. We'll do advanced analytics on that coming up in 40 minutes from now. But we start in the NBA, where the Philadelphia 76ers, speaking of Philly, are the number one seed of the Eastern Conference. They have a half-game lead over the Brooklyn Nets. They are 22-12, 10 games over 500. The Nets are 22-13. Right now, the Sixers are the one seed of the East. The Nets are the two. The Bucks are the three. And there's a significant drop-off after that. Shockingly, the Knicks are four. Then the Heat, five. Celtics, six. Raptors, seven. Hornets, eight. Pacers just under the Hornets as your first team out of the top eight. But remember, there will be play-in again for that final slot in the playoffs. Here was Charles Barkley the other night on the NBA on TNT describing just how dominant he sees Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
They're not Shaq and Kobe, but they're Shaq and Kobe-like. They're going to be a serious problem for anybody they play against.
Shaq, would you allow that statement to be said?
No, I didn't say
Will that. You allow him to say that they are Shaq and Kobe-like?
Shaq and Kobe, yeah.
No, he says they're more like Charles and KJ-like.
I'm saying Joel Embiid got more talent, and he's more of a problem than me. I don't know. Shaq
and Kobe like is.
No, hold on.
Shaq
and Kobe like, what I meant by that is those guys are going to be a problem every single night.
Okay.
A lot of comparisons being thrown out here and not sitting particularly well.
Petty White, come on, man.
Thank you for staying above the fray.
That was Thursday night when the Sixers were beating up on the Mavericks 111-97 and beat it 23-9. And the Sixers were looking good, and so you kind of can see Charles getting caught up into that. The Sixers are the one seed of the Eastern Conference. You can get caught up into that. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons have played really well. You can get caught up into that, and that's fine. The fact that you don't hear Shaq there tells you all you need to know about this take. And I love Charles, but this take is ridiculous. No, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons aren't anything close to Shaq and Kobe like. That's why Shaq didn't talk there. The nicest thing Shaq can say is nothing at all. There's no need to tear down Joel Embiid. There's no need to tear down Ben Simmons. They seem to have figured out a good ability to play off one another. And with the guys on that roster and their winning games, and the Doc Rivers addition has helped, the Danny Green trade has helped, getting rid of Al Horford has helped, all of that has worked. There's no reason to take a sledgehammer to the Sixers right now. But this is utterly, patently absurd. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, the only way they're like Shaq and Kobe like are that it's a big man and a guard. That's it. That's the like part. Joel Embiid might be more physically gifted than Charles Barkley, but he's not as dominant as Barkley was when Barkley was at his peak. Barkley was an absolute machine. Barkley was a 20-10 guy, no questions asked. Barkley wanted the ball in big spots. Barkley delivered in big spots. Barkley was the 1993 NBA MVP. Barkley was the centerpiece of a team that went to the NBA Finals. Barkley was the most important player on a team that pushed the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan at their peak to six games in the NBA Finals. Joel Embiid is none of those things. Joel Embiid is tantalizing. Joel Embiid this year has seemingly put it together, but Joel Embiid is nothing close to what Charles Barkley was, even if his skill set is greater. And Charles Barkley cannot say that Joel Embiid is Shaq-like. Because I watched Shaq. Many of us did. And while Shaq had a tendency to shoot his way out of town when he didn't like what was happening and could allow himself to get out of shape, Shaq was a dominant force of nature from the moment he stepped on the floor in the NBA. Joel Embiid has not been. And to compare Ben Simmons to Kobe Bryant, my God. I mean, Kobe was relentless and ruthless and an assassin and a scoring machine and driven to do everything, both offensively and defensively, and was driven not to be successful, but to be the greatest of all time. Let's face it, Ben Simmons has not been that. Ben Simmons has floated his way through a good early part of his career, where clearly talent is very obvious. He is an extremely talented, oversized point guard, but a guy that has never even developed an outside shot yet. I mean, he fears taking a shot. Ben Simmons is wildly effective defensively because of his length. He's a very good passer, but these guys are not Shaq and Kobe-like. When Charles starts backing down, when Kenny actually challenges him and says, well, they're a problem on any given night, that's fine. A lot of guys have been problems to opposing defenses that you still would not compare to Shaq and Kobe. Shaq and Kobe teamed up, and with just a little bit of supplementary talent around the roster, I mean, it wasn't much with those Lakers teams, they won three consecutive NBA championships, and could they have just coexisted, would have won many more than that. Four NBA finals in 5 years, and had they coexisted, could have certainly stacked up another two or three championships. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons haven't been to the NBA finals yet. They're not Shaq and Kobe-like in any way. They're really good right now as a tandem. And the Sixers are really good. But you know what happened after that Thursday night when the Sixers beat up on the Mavs and Barkley was saying these things? They lost to the Cavaliers. They lost to the Cavaliers. And both Embiid and Simmons both played. And they lost in overtime 112-109. We just can't go there. And Embiid was very good in that game. Had 42 points. But we cannot use anything close to a Shaq and Kobe comparison for every big man slash guard tandem that seems to be working. Because that's what's happening right now. The Sixers seem to be working finally. Shaq and Kobe-like? Win an NBA championship or two, and then we can start talking about Shaq and Kobe-like. Get to an NBA Finals, and we can start talking about what Shaq and Kobe accomplished. I mean, Barkley sitting next to Shaq to call Embiid and Simmons? Embiid and Simmons are three championships and four NBA Finals appearances away from what Shaq and Kobe accomplished. Let's not go there. They ended up losing to the Cavaliers two nights later. And again, I really like Barkley. That's an unacceptable comparison there. Unacceptable. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter. DA on CBS. Mraz, let's ask this question of the Eastern Conference. You got the three big boys right now in the East. You've got the Sixers number one, the Nets number two, and you've got a good Bucks team at number three that just got a good win last night, yesterday afternoon on national TV against that Clippers squad. Who out of those three, who's the two Eastern Conference finalists?
Well, it's hard not to think the Sixers end up there right now because I think that they probably, I mean, still way too early to tell, but holding that one seed now, I guess my point would be as it sits right now, you assume the Nets would play the Bucks, but the Nets did have that 9-game win streak, still couldn't overtake the Sixers for the one seed. So that's why I'm going to assume the Sixers get there because I think they've been consistent enough all year, and I don't know about Durant's health. He's missed the last 7 games, and I don't know about, you know, load management when it comes to Kyrie and whatnot. So let's put the Sixers there. I think it's going to come down to who you like better in a matchup between the Nets and Bucks, and I think that could be an epic series, but I think ultimately there's just more firepower on the Nets, and I think that the Bucks, what they've proved the last couple of years, and I know it's a little bit of a different look of a team, is that they do come up short, and I know the Sixers have as well, and if it was Sixers-Nets, I'd probably be feeling the same way about the Sixers, but I'm going to put the Sixers and Nets there now because if the Sixers hold on to the one seed, I think the Nets just have too much firepower versus a team that hasn't proven they can get over the hump in the East.
I think I would, too, that KD health thing really dictates everything about the Nets because Kyrie and James Harden will not get to an NBA Finals. They have to have Kevin Durant to do so. That one seed, though, as you mentioned, becomes really vital in the East. If you get the one seed, your second-round opponent is going to be the 4 or the 5. Right now, that's Knicks or the Heat. Now, the Heat have lost a lot of games when they didn't have their full complement of players this year. So maybe the Heat turn it on and they look like the Heat of last year. But at the moment, if you're telling me the Sixers or whoever gets the one seed gets the Knicks or the Heat or the Celtics in the second round, you sign them up and you push them right to the Eastern Conference Finals.
There's no doubt.
A second round matchup between the 2-3. And if the Nets get the one, they would be in the driver's seat. But a 2-3 between Bucks and Nets or Bucks and Sixers or Sixers and Nets could be an awesome second round series. And if it is Nets and Bucks, I agree with you. I would take Brooklyn. I think that the Bucks have tried with the Jrue Holiday addition and Chris Middleton signing to give that secondary power pack, if you will, to Giannis to not have to do everything. But I still don't trust those guys against the other guys that the Nets have. I mean, if you're going to line up Giannis and Holiday and Bledsoe versus KD, Harden, and Kyrie, it's pretty clear advantage Brooklyn. And I think you would say the same thing, advantage Brooklyn, if it's the Sixers, as great as Embiid is, Embiid, Simmons, Tobias Harris versus KD, Kyrie, and Harden, it's probably advantage Brooklyn. So right now, I think you're right. I think I would say Sixers and Nets, but it's all dependent on Kevin Durant's health, and Kevin Durant's health has been the ultimate, who knows, in his last two seasons, because he tried to come back in the NBA Finals a couple of years ago. That obviously didn't work out well, and now he's missing time again. So that's your total X factor in the East. But I don't see a situation like last year where a Heat team, a Celtics team, or a Raptors team crashes the party as a 5, 6, or 7 and makes the NBA Finals out of the East.
I totally agree. And if the Nets' biggest problem is defense, well, Giannis hasn't proven he could be that kind of shooter that would basically affect that defense in the postseason. And on the flip side, look, Nick Claxton and DeAndre Jordan have been fine, but the Nets trading Jared Allen, if Joel Embiid could go off in an Eastern Conference final and dominate the paint, the Nets just don't have an answer at the rim for that, and that could be an X factor to get the Sixers to the finals, as well as just how dominant Embiid could be in the paint.
You and I are of the same opinion. We like fresh blood around here. We like seeing new faces, new teams in big spots. This year, would you sign up? And you're a Nets fan, so you're a bad person to ask. But we could even ask this. Sixers, Jazz?
Love it. I mean, I would hate the fact that it would mean the Nets have lost, but if I take that out of it, a fresh finals like that, Philly and Utah, I would sign me up.
Sixers, Jazz could be two fresh faces. Nets, Jazz, Nets, Clippers, Sixers, Clippers. I don't think the Suns are good enough to get there, but the Suns are floating around as the 4 seed right now. But the Jazz are dominant. The Clippers obviously have a chance to get to an NBA Finals. The Sixers or the Nets on the other side, even the Bucks, we haven't seen to the NBA Finals. This could be the year where we do see two fresh faces.
I think anybody in the West outside of the Lakers and LeBron versus any of those big three in the East gives me extreme juice and a taste of something different for fan bases in the NBA.
Yeah, really, because the only team that would feel like been there, done that, out of all of those teams we mentioned, is the Lakers. Really not another team that you would say that about maybe in the NBA right now if they got to the NBA Finals. I mean, I know that we just saw the Heat last year, but I don't think anybody would be sick of seeing the Heat in a second NBA Finals.
No, if it was Heat-Jazz, I think we would really love the Finals. I think it would be completely different. I think if you get the LeBron-AD combo out of the Finals, now people love to see that. I think fresh juice would be perfect.
The NBA is hurtling towards its All-Star break. This weekend, Sunday, is the All-Star game. When we come back here on the show, Carey Pierce is a machine. 3-time USA CrossFit champ. She's going to join us next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
It is the Volcano Pork Shank. Yeah, Volcano Pork Shanks.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Glad you're with us. Happy Monday morning to you, everybody. Thanks so much for dropping on by. Damon Amendolara, DA with you here aboard the mothership, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on all of these wonderful CBS Sports Radio stations and SiriusXM Channel 206. Stream us as well using the radio.com app. Well, our next guest is just an absolute machine. She is one of the fittest women in the world. She has tons of titles to her name. She is currently considered the third fittest woman on earth and been in the top 10 in the last 5 years. She's a 3-time fittest American female, dominant at the CrossFit Games. Joining us this morning on the show, Carey Pierce. Carey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing, DA?
Doing great. And you can watch Carey on our simulcast at watchda.com and also on Twitch. Check us out at CBS Sports Radio. You just heard our friend Katie Linedahl talk about Volcanic Pork Shank here on the show. She's amazing, and you're friends with her as well, because she eats like us, except she has shredded abs. She goes for runs every single day. She does chin-ups like in her sleep. I mean, she is an amazingly fit person. Are you like Katie? I know you're friends with Katie, where you just get to eat anything and then you're just burning it off because you're working out like a fiend all the time?
I have seen how Katie eats, and I'm like, how do you do it, Katie? I do not. I'm a little different. I know she has a sweet, sweet tooth, and she always talks about the best cookies and ice cream and all these crazy things. But I'm a little different. I am rather strict with my diet. I'll go off here and there. But for the most part, I have like a very set regimen of what I eat, and it's a lot of like salmon and chicken and eggs, and I love oatmeal, sweet potatoes, basic things like that. So no, I'm not like Katie, but she's a machine.
She's a machine. That's a great way to put it. So I wanted to know, with that type of regimented diet, are you keyed in on what the TB12 method, Tom Brady's diet is? Is what you do similar to that? How regimented do you have to be on point for the CrossFit Games?
So like you said, Tom Brady's very in it. And I think that's part of the reason that he's so successful, especially in his age. I'm like, that's goals right there. And I went to Michigan as well. So I was like, I think always going to be a huge Brady fan for that.
Very
reason.
Nice. Yeah.
I think for me, like eating clean and everything is not only about like for me, how I look, but also for performance, especially at the CrossFit Games. Like you're going against the top athletes in the world and everybody there is trying to be that 1% better, similar to Tom Brady and everyone in the NFL. So I think just, you know, staying on point with my nutrition is huge. And I work with a nutritionist and I have for a couple of years. And I think that's part of the reason I've been so successful, because I fuel my body for the events and the training up to it. And then the events when we do get to the CrossFit Games.
Have you tried avocado ice cream?
I have not, but I love avocado. What is your avocado ice cream recipe?
I don't have one, but Tom Brady apparently lives on the stuff because he can't eat normal ice cream. So you're going to have to try to tap into that recipe, I guess, for you. Carrie Pierce.
Yeah. Now you're making me hungry. I want some avocado ice cream.
Joins us this morning on the show. So you've got, it's funny, if you Google your name, the first thing that comes up is abs and super ab workouts and pictures about your abs. I mean, your abs are kind of like all-time abs. These are the elite of the elite. So do you get requests for people like when they meet you, like, hey, can I just get a picture of you and your abs? Or how do you get those abs? I mean, how often are you asked about these?
Very, very often, especially now, because I did end up coming up with a program because I got complimented so much. And it was something like from a young age, like I've always had abs. Like I have pictures when I was 7 and 8 years old and I have abs. I think it's just
wow,
from gymnastics.
Seven years old?
Yeah, like through my Leo, like my gymnastic Leo, you can see my little baby abs popping out. Amazing. My parents are like, you've always had abs. Yeah. And I was like, that's insane. So I'm very thankful for my parents for that, because I know not many people can say that.
I would say so. Yeah, that's a rare quality. I don't think any of us had abs at 7 years old.
But it was
for our listeners who might be looking down at their belly right now and they're like, oh man, I haven't seen my abs in years. Do you have any kind of advice for us to shed some of the winter pounds and to get back looking a little bit more svelte for the spring?
Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest things for people, I think, obviously nutrition is huge. Cleaning up your diet, what you put in your mouth is very, very important. But then, like you said, there's someone like Katie who works out hard and, you know, can shed all of her weight because she works out so hard. And for me, like, I was a personal trainer as well, and I think one thing is just, like, high-intensity workouts that are just going to help you burn fat in a shorter amount of time possible. So just get going, get your heart rate up, rather than, like, long, monotonous workouts. If you can just hit it and hit it hard, that's going to help you burn more calories, burn more fat, and then in turn, you know, get better abs. And, like, I ended up creating a program called Power Abs specifically for that 2 years ago, because I've gotten so many compliments. And it's, you know, it's high intensity, 10 minutes a day, just to get it, hit it hard. It's 10 minutes, but it's a killer 10 minutes. Katie's done it. But you know, she's a good specimen for it because she's so fit. So it was fun, like working with her and having her do power abs.
What are the international CrossFit Games like when you see people from all over the world? Is there a specific country that just churns out like incredible physical specimens in CrossFit?
Yeah, CrossFit, I feel like, is different than any other sport. And for the girls, the Icelandic girls are amazing. They have a couple world champions. They've had another girl who's finished on the podium multiple times. And it's funny because I've only seen, like, one really good guy from Iceland. But there's been a handful of girls that are incredible. And then Australia also has some amazing athletes, like the most recent champion, four-time champion, I should say, is from Australia, and they've had another girl finish on the podium. And, I mean, I'll brag about myself. I just put America back on the podium for the first time since 2014.
Yeah! All right.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. USA.
Thank you.
USA. USA. So you're waving the flag for us. Where does America sit globally in terms of CrossFit? Where are we considered, you know, a top tier, middle tier? Where are we?
I mean, we're still definitely a top tier. It's just those other two countries that I think the girls are better at. But the guys are all from USA. So, like, the top three guys were American at the games last year. So the girls need to catch up with the guys. The guys are doing great representing the girls, so we just need to, you know, step it up a little bit.
How did the U.S. become so dominant from a male standpoint in CrossFit?
I don't know. I wish I had a better answer for that. The guys, I guess, just the way the cookies crumble is the guys here are amazing, and they have the right training and stuff. And, like, the guy who's won the last 5 years is American, and he's represented well. And even the guy before him who won was American. The guy before him was American. So through and through, the guys have been able to represent. I don't know what they're doing differently than the girls. I mean, maybe I need to go sit down and meet with them and see what the guys are doing that the girls aren't.
Kerry Pierce joins us this morning on the show. First in the U.S., the CrossFit Games this year, which is amazing. Finished third in the world. So when you have a big meal, say Thanksgiving, do you ever have one of those meals where you're like, you know what, tonight I can let myself go because it's Thanksgiving or it's Christmas or something like that? Or do you always have to stay on point?
If it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, I'm with my family, I have good food, I eat what I want. I think that's something everybody should do. Like, when you're enjoying family and just having a good time, you shouldn't have to stress about exactly what you're going to eat. If you're craving something, eat it, enjoy, don't regret it. Live life to the fullest, you know, most of the time, at certain times. And I think that's part of the reason of my success too, is like, I know when to focus hard and train hard, and then I know when I can relax a little bit and let myself go.
Can I just ask you a question about the state of Michigan, being in gymnastics as you were growing up? As you mentioned, we've had so much awful news from that world in the state of Michigan, at Michigan State, Larry Nassar, John Gettert recently committed suicide, as he had all these charges as well. My guess is it breaks your heart to see stories like this. My guess is women that you may have trained with or known growing up, because you were in gymnastics of the state of Michigan as well. What has been your experience with all of these tragic stories around this?
Yeah, so actually, John Gettert was my coach for 4 years during my high school gymnastics career. And Larry Nassar actually did work individually on me during that time. And I remember the first time they called me up and they were like, "Carrie, can we talk to you about Dr. Larry?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." Like, for my experience, he was a great doctor. And they're like, "Have you heard, like, about the things going around?" And I was like, "I have no idea what you were talking about." And then they started talking about, like, the sexual harassment and stuff. And my heart just sunk. And then in the back of my mind, I was like, I'm just so thankful. Like, my mom was there with me every time that I went to see Dr. Larry. But then you hear about these crazy stories of, even in front of parents, like, Dr. Larry was doing things. And I remember being at the gym and, like, in the back room, like, the doors were closed and Dr. Larry was, like, working on somebody, but you figured it was because the music in the gym was loud, so the doors were closed, and it was at John Gettert's gym. And so I don't, like I said, my heart seems just thinking about it and knowing that these girls that I was training with at the time were going through such hard times and going through this. And now, like, everything coming out, it's so sad. It's so terrible. And I don't know, I've recently connected with, like, some of my old teammates, just because, like, you know, we feel the same thing together. So it's nice, like, talking to them and just kind of getting it out. But it's sad, and everything about it is just mind-blowing.
John Gettert recently was found dead. He committed suicide, as he had multiple charges against him for sexual abuse and physical abuse, much like Larry Nassar. He was your coach for 4 years. I didn't realize this. your experience with John Gettert was fine?
Yeah, thank goodness. I mean, he, as far as like the sexual harassment side goes, he was a very, very intense coach, and like he would yell at people, he would take you out of practice. But I think gymnasts, like in our mind, we just expected that. Like we just expect, okay, you want to be the best gymnast, like you're going to get yelled at, you're going to get kicked out of practice. He would belittle you, but I think at that time, you're just like, okay, well, this is what it's going to take to be the best, because, I mean, we were the best gym in the state and one of the best gyms in the country. And then, you know, he produced Jordan Weaver, who was an Olympic gold medalist. And it's just like seeing that, you're like, okay, well, I have to go through all of this to be the best gymnast that I want to be. But at least, like, no sexual harassment, anything, as far as that goes, was ever part of my journey.
Advise the parents listening to this show right now how they can make sure they're putting their daughters in safe situations, in gymnastics, in training, and leaving them with male coaches, etc.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just talking to your daughters about everything that's going on during the gymnastic practice. And I think, like, I was always very open with my parents about anything going on in practice, whether it was injuries and coaches pushing me, anything like that. And I think for the first like couple training sessions, like sometimes my mom would stay and watch or like come early to practice, or every once in a while like come in the middle of practice just to, you know, see what was going on and make sure. I mean, she said that she came to watch me and make sure, like, just to see how I was doing, because she wanted to see. But I mean, maybe in hindsight, she was just making sure everything was okay at practice, because we're a bunch of little girls that are being left with older grown men. So I think just, you know, randomly maybe stopping in on your coaches and just being very open with your daughters, because I can't imagine if anything would have happened to me, or if I have a daughter, anything happened to her because of her being at a sporting practice.
Totally. It's devastating. Kerry Pierce, yeah, joining us this morning here on the show. Well, congratulations on such an amazing finish yet again, and putting the U.S. back in the medal stand on the women's side of the CrossFit Games. That is so cool. How can our listeners connect with you and your journey?
Oh, it's been great talking to you. My Instagram is Kerry Pierce CrossFit, and then I just have a webpage. It's just kerrypierce.com. Those are like the two places that I'm most prevalent.
Check it out. She's amazing, and as we all know, she's close friends with the Gidget of Gadgets, Katie Linedahl, here on the show, and so any friend of Katie's is a friend of ours. We know this as a D'Alien group here, the Mothership family. We embrace all of our friends of friends, and Kerry is one of those. Kerry, great stuff this morning. Thanks so much for sharing. I really appreciate it.
Of course, yeah, it was my pleasure.
Kerry Pierce joining us this morning here on the show, one of the strongest women in the world. So cool. The Nasser and Gettert stories make me viscerally angry, as I'm sure they do with you. And they are traumatic and tragic and anger-inducing. And it just is amazing to hear Kerry's firsthand account of coaching with them, competing with them as coaches. That's crazy, but you know, every one of those girls that has different story about them makes me more angry about how that was allowed to happen. And those two guys, special place in hell for Nasser and Gettert, that's for sure. Gettert knew what was probably waiting for him in prison if he went to prison, because of how reprehensible his series of charges were. Totally the absolute worst. The absolute worst. Standing by with our headline this morning for the final time on the DA show is Andrew Bogish. It was a big weekend around the NBA. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
NBA in just a second, DA. We begin with Tiger Woods, who we heard from last night for the first time since last week's car crash. Tiger tweeting his appreciation for golfers around the globe wearing red yesterday as a sign of support. Tiger's post read in part, quote, "To every golfer and every fan, you are truly helping me get through this tough time." Colin Morikawa wore red while winning the WGC Workday Championship in Florida by 3 shots. He joins Tiger, Jack Nicklaus, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas on the short list of players years with four or more wins before turning 25. We've been having fun with them all morning. Neither Julius Randle nor the Knicks suck right now.
Here's Randle. Fadeaway over Stewart. It is good from 19 feet away for Julius Randle. Now with 25 points. 25 now in six of the last seven
games.
That's
Ed Cohen on Knicks Radio. Randle with 17 points in the second half, 25 total, plus 8 rebounds and 6 assists for a 109-90 win in Detroit. The Knicks are 18-17, the latest they've been over 500 since the end of the 2012-13 season. Devin Booker scored 43 in the Suns' 118-99 win in Minnesota. The Lakers ran away from the Warriors' 117-91. Malik Monk's three-point play with 1.4 seconds left got the Hornets a 127-126 win in Sacramento. The Celtics 111, the Wizards 110. The Grizzlies pounded the Rockets 133-84, extending Houston's skid to 11 games, while the Heat win streak is up to 6, 109-99 over the Hawks. Bam Adebayo, 16 points and 13 boards last night.
I feel like we're finding our stride. You know, we're starting to really play some Miami Heat basketball. So that's the biggest thing for us, that we're playing together. We're making multiple efforts, and we're getting it done on both sides.
Miami is back at the 500 mark. Victor Oladipo has reportedly turned down a two-year, $45 million max extension from those Rockets. He wants a longer-term commitment, but Houston can't offer that until the summer. So the question now is, do you explore the trade market in case you can't sign him in the offseason? Mets president Sandy Alderson said this morning he expects extension talks to begin soon with new shortstop Francisco Lindor. Alderson said they'll also honor Lindor's wish to stop contract talks once the season begins. Irv Cross, a very good football player and a legendary broadcaster, has passed away at 81. Cross made two Pro Bowls as an Eagle and a Ram. He then became the first African-American analyst on national TV when CBS hired him in 1971. 4 years later, he began hosting the NFL Today. Chicago winger Patrick Kane with career goal number 400 in last night's 7-2 win over Detroit. Kane is the 100th player to reach that milestone. And Will Byron got his second career NASCAR Cup win yesterday at Homestead, Miami. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues, for savings on the latest appliances from the kitchen to the laundry room. Your appliance upgrade is well within reach. Save on top appliances now with the Home Depot. How doers get more done. When we come back on the show, we've got advanced analytics. What'd you think about Phillies fans booing Phillies in spring training? First time out. It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Yesterday in spring training, it took 50 pitches in the first inning to record two outs for the Philadelphia Phillies. Spring training, which led to Philly fans booing on February 28th already. So we ask you guys, is that awesome or disturbing? 58% of you said it's awesome. The projections, Pecota's projections, Bill Pecota, projects the Phillies to win 83 games this upcoming season. Spring training tickets began at $28. Now, how about this? The last time the Phillies made the playoffs, 2011. That's the last time the Phillies had a winning season. How crazy is it that the Phillies have gone now a decade? This year will be 10 full years since they last made the playoffs or even had a winning season. Whoa! Rough times. No wonder they're booing in Philadelphia. That's your advanced analytics. So a lot went down this morning here on the show. Of course, everybody being back together on a Monday morning leads to such discussions. And that included Cal McNair, the son of Bob McNair, who founded the Texans. Sage Rosenfels, former quarterback of the Texans, telling a story the other day where he walked into Cal McNair's office when he was a member of the Texans a couple of years ago. And found Cal McNair, no furniture in his office, sitting on the ground, playing video games. What's the more disturbing part of that image? That the owner's son is in his office playing video games during business hours, or that he's sitting on the floor to do it? Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I haven't worn jeans to work in about a year. I feel like I've been more productive than ever, so I think my sweatpant thing might be validated this year, but sitting on a floor is a whole new level.
When you say you haven't worn jeans to work in a year, it's because you haven't gone to work in a year.
Well, I'm going to work. I have set up, I mean, my home office is work. I walk down to work every day. I just don't wear jeans because I am the boss of my office.
That is so misleading. I haven't worn jeans to work. You
again with the sweatpants.
I'm comfortable.
What do we do every morning? Do we not go to work?
Work off a hockey table.
It's an air hockey table.
You have Papa Shot 6 feet away from you.
I folded
That's
it down. I'm
going
to bring it outside.
Going to work.
But that is work. Like, we're not working. We are going to work. We're just not commuting to our usual office.
He's getting phone calls, Hammer?
I walk downstairs every day. I go to work.
I love the idea that in Mraz's head, he has proven how disciplined he is by showing his production at home and not wearing jeans. I'm not even wearing jeans at work anymore, guys. Mraz, you can wear nothing. You could go commando and you would quote-unquote be at work. Does that show
I may be commando right now. You're right. No, I still
don't
went to work.
Don't stand up.
You're telling the world I give up. I can't compete in normal society. I'm miserable, so I might as well be comfortable.
I still went to work. I understand your point. We didn't travel into the actual office. Well, what am I doing? I'm twiddling my thumbs. Though. We're working,
but you didn't go to work.
But it's the new
anywhere.
No, it's the new location for work. It's different. The location happens to reside in the same place I'm living. It's like buying an apartment above the 10th floor of our building.
Why don't you give me the phone?
In the middle of a conversation.
Get off the phone.
That's what
and if you did
now.
That, you'd wear jeans down the two floors to come to the studio and be around
no,
other people.
I wouldn't if somebody said
you would not come down in your PJs with your bowl of cereal. Oh. Morning, guys.
I get out of my PJs. I change into skinny sweats. That's what I do. So at least I try to clear this up a little bit around this place.
It's not cereal. It's waffles.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Now I'm really enamored by the idea of Mraz renting an apartment above the CBS Sports Radio studios and just waltzing through the newsroom with his bowl of cereal. Hey, guys, what are you guys up to? Anybody want to watch the Rangers game with me upstairs? Come on. I got a DiGiorno's in the oven. Anybody?
You guys aren't working.
So now I'm eating cereal before the DiGiorno's. Okay.
Yes. Jacques Alonso, there he's like, oh. Mraz, I got to cut up this audio, man. I can't come up again. I can't come up. Maybe later. Maybe later, Mraz. You got any BLs up there? Any Bud Lights? Got any BLs? Shep crashes just outside your door.
Oh.
He sleeps on the floor outside of your apartment. You just have to give him a warm plate of milk like a stray cat. You just push it out the door.
Ack would be knocking on my door every 10 minutes. Singing.
Hey, Chief, want to watch the Nets game with me? Knicks Nets tonight.
You want some Jock Torres?
You living in like a treehouse or a clubhouse above the building is just the best idea ever.
Yeah, I'd actually help pay for that.
Oh. No Schwartz is allowed in our club.
Yeah, I'd be on the air for 24 straight hours during a snowstorm, though. They would take advantage.
Oh, there's no question. You'd be hosting, producing, running the board on like four straight shifts.
Hour number 33 on the radio show.
So speaking of the Schwartz clan, it sounds like we need a deep dive tomorrow on this. And the beat reporter, the Brian Windhorst of the Schwartz beat, which is Mraz, has uncovered some real gems from over the weekend. So I think tomorrow it deserves a deep dive. Is there enough meat on the bone there for that tomorrow?
There
Mraz?
Is always enough meat on the bone.
I think we'll call the segment Meat on the Bone. All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Thanks to the crew also for handling the technical glitches early with aplomb. We will see you tomorrow. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.